This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Who's excited about the Atlanta Falcons? These guys. We are Dukes and Bell. We're live at Flowery Branch where it's all going down today, and we're going to get a chance to talk to both of our first-round picks from last night. But first, we start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is good to have you listening on this Friday. Mike Bell, I don't know if I've felt this good in a very long time when it comes to just the excitement level, the enthusiasm I have for potentially what this can be. I don't know what it's going to be. But I am excited that we now have some young guns that we believe in, that a lot of us watched, certainly Jalen at Georgia, probably more so than James at Tennessee. But either way, man, both of these guys highly touted. We're going to dive into it all day. But how excited are you, man?
You know, it's funny because we do these mock drafts, and sometimes we like to say you're too close to it. So you don't get the guy that you thought was the guy. And, to me, Carl, I ruminated. I thought about it. And I got to be honest, man, in Jalen Carter, you know the intangibles. You're getting leadership. You're getting a coach's son, and you're getting a stud. You're getting a guy that gets the job done, and just, I mean, everything you know about Georgia and the work ethic and everything that Kirby instills, NFL ready. And then in James Pierce Jr., you get a two-time All-SEC pass rusher, you know, who's rangy, and he's got the speed, and he's got that, you know, they talk about that twitchy thing. So, you know, once I wrap my head around it, and you know, we talked to some folks liked it, some folks thought we reached, some folks thought it was great, I'm excited. I'm all in, and later on I'll tell you that all those things you were making fun of me, Carl, not being a hype man, I'm feeling like being a hype man for the
Falcons. Well, listen.
I'm going to be very excited.
I wouldn't expect anything less at this point. Let's go back to last night, because here is the moment that I think we all started kind of freaking out. And it worked out perfectly, guys. Listen, the football gods have blessed us today, okay? This fell into our lap, and it couldn't have been any more perfect. When we get to pick 14 and you start saying, okay, wait a minute, Tyler Warren, Colts, and you start looking at all the guys that are available and you realize, and Mike's texting me, Jalen, capital letters, as in he's there. Are you serious right now? And right. Mike and I will tell you, and if you listen to us every day, we said there were guys we talked about. There were guys I think that may have rated better than some other guys. But at the end of the day, I said this is a top five overall draft pick you're getting. Some people say top three. You can't pass that up, regardless of my concerns, Mike. And we're going to talk to Jalen about the reach and the hands and the size. You couldn't pass up the versatility. And I said, if he's there, you got to take him. So Mike and I are tripping out last night at pick 14. And then Terry Fontenot's playing with our emotions because this damn pick took so long. How long did the pick take?
Well, you know they were going to take James Pierce, Jr. at 15. That's basically where
That's
it was
they
at. They wanted him.
Yep.
And so it was like, ooh, if we pass, are we going to still be able to get our guy? And then it worked out again. But, yeah, you're right. I think, look, you knew there was folks who were really high on Jalen, and maybe, just maybe, you were going to get a trade that was going to make a lot of sense. We'll never know what they turned down. But at the same time, I'm with you. I'm like, why are we down? There's a minute and a half left. This is like the no-brainer of no-brainers. But, yes, they get Jalen Walker. I mean, you got a guy who just plugs in and is everything you could have wanted. That was a steal. I was losing my mind. I was on social media. I'm tweeting out. I'm going, we got to do this. We can do this. And so he's there. And then you get Pierce. And as I said, on second glance, and you, I watched the tape. I put his highlight package up on Twitter. This dude, man, again, some things like everybody else, Carl, is a rookie, getting coached up with, and hopefully Ulbrich, who apparently literally didn't sleep at all last night, according to Fontenot. Can't wait to work with this guy.
Yeah, and look, I still think when you ask me right now, where do they play Jalen? I don't know. I think they play him all over. But I know exactly where they're going to play James Pierce. And that's what we were talking about, Mike, leading up to the draft, is Pierce is a guy you just say, hey, do what you've been doing, and we're just going to help you with technique and get you better and coach you up. Jalen's a different kind of animal, but, man, he brings so much to the table. But, Falcon fans, here's the deal. We got what we wanted. We got what we wanted. We got what we've been crying about for the last 7 years, and why don't we draft an edge guy? And you got two SEC dudes.
Right, all SEC. I mean, these guys are the best of the best of the best.
Sir, I think for the first time in a long time, if you're not excited about what this defense potentially can be, and again, Rook, Trice, we signed, I'm trying to think, Mike, who did we bring in?
You got Leonard Floyd. You got Leonard Floyd on one side, Diablo at linebacker to help the edge.
And Ebba Cady. Yes. I mean, right. Like all of a sudden now, the edge room looks completely different. And how you want to attempt to rush the passer looks different for us. Guys, we've been so limited, partly due to our personnel. And Mike, now, this is why Jeff didn't sleep last night. Brick didn't sleep because he's like, are you serious right now? We're not done. And he's looking at the personnel and the matchups and how he's going to rotate guys in and out. He's got options.
Now you look at Rook, and Rook's got to step up. Are they going to keep on Yamada? Are they going to make a play for Jalen Ramsey? That could still be in the offing. Patrick was talking about that earlier today on Andy Randy.
Well, listen, there's a lot of corners still left on the board.
Big time.
If you want to go there.
I just did a mock with, there's a couple of guys that can, you know, certainly start at nickel as Hughes plays the other corner opposite A.J. Terrell and eventually become that guy opposite A.J. But, you know, Zach Harrison in the rotation, we talked about that. That was something that A brought up, who's producing the show. You got a bunch of dudes, maybe another body. Maybe we go DT in the third or the fourth or corner, either way. But I think we got to get another defensive tackle.
I do too. But you know what that means? Pick one, two, and three. Defense.
Had to.
And we've been saying, you got to do this. You got to address it. Let's not deny what we're lacking. By the way, James Pierce is going to stop by the show 4 o'clock hour around 4:40. Mm. We're going to talk to Jalen at around 4:55-ish, 5 o'clock or so. Make sure you stay here, man. We've got you covered all day long. And by the way, when it comes to the draft, as we said, night two tonight starts right after our show is done. And John Freaky, Joe Patrick will have you covered. But our coverage of the NFL draft continues all through the weekend. So we've got pick-by-pick coverage of the second round, third round tonight, or tomorrow, should I say, followed by late-night wrap-up shows that will take your calls and reaction. It's all brought to you by our local Honda dealers and by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free. NFL draft continues on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's the other thing that's interesting, Mike. And look, it didn't matter to me, but it mattered apparently to every other team. Mike Green sits there as the best edge rusher available going into day two.
Right.
And the issues we said, red flags, because I don't care. Listen, as a fan, some are more major than others. There are levels to red flags, right? For example, guy falling asleep in a meeting, it's a red flag. Guy having a sexual assault case, that's a different kind of red flag.
Right.
So when we talk about the levels of what was going on with Mike Green, he sits there today, and somebody, by the way, is going to take Mike Green. He's going to get picked. His level of pass rush is too high. Somebody will look past some of this stuff. But last night, it was about value. And if I took a guy that high and it doesn't necessarily work out and we knew about some of this stuff, what's that going to look like? We could potentially lose our job. So you not only saw the Falcons move on from that, Mike, but a bunch of teams. I mean, everybody else that were interested in him decided, at least in the first round, we're not going to go there.
No, man. I like the guy's tape. I think we all talked about, you know, as you just laid out, I wasn't there. I don't know if somebody went to UVA and has an inner knowledge, working knowledge of what happened that caused them to part ways. We talked about Micah Parsons was also kind of roped into some red flags about some things that happened off the field in his career. But that's somebody else's problem. We've got a guy who you could argue in James Pierce Jr. is a faster, taller version of Mike Green. Bigger. You know, he's maybe put some weight on in the middle, maybe in the dumper, because you don't want to get thrown around by some of the big tackles you're going to deal with. But yeah, he's basically a faster, taller version of the things you liked with Mike Green. So that's one thing. The Shedeur Sanders, and we'll have all day to talk about it, it was real. And now, again, I was really surprised the Steelers didn't pull the trigger. At 21, maybe they're still going to make it work with Aaron Rodgers. The Giants with Jackson Dart, that thing, and we'll dive into it with Brian McFadden a little bit later, but I was still surprised. I thought the Giants could have their cake and eat it too, and they scouted Shedeur Sanders but passed.
Yeah, and the Giants still have a bunch of picks in this draft. They could really make out if they continue to handle their business here in this particular draft. The Shedeur thing is, you're right. I mean, listen, we'll dive in, but here's what I do like about the Steelers. look, however they evaluated the situation, they did exactly what they needed to do. They've got an aging defensive line.
Right.
And they said, we got to get better there. We got to replace it. And they did. This Derek Harmon kid they drafted is really good. But, Mike, I think they turn right back around and probably go get quarterback here in the second or third round.
That was the guy Charles Davis was talking to us about, Harmon. And the other thing is, how about, you know, you and I talked about people being concerned about Micah Williams' ankle. No, he goes before Jalen Walker. And, look, you know, we talked about who are the brain trusts in the NFL you trust. I trust John Lynch and Shanahan. I certainly trust what the Rams have with Snead, you know, and certainly with McVay. But, man, they get Michael Williams for that D-line to pump some youth into it.
They needed it. They lost a lot of guys via free agency, salary stuff with the, you know, salary hits and stuff. That's a great pick for San Francisco, there's no doubt. And then, of course, you know, late in the draft, you just see, you know, right. The Eagles go ahead and, oh, yeah, we're going to take Jahi Campbell. I know he's been falling. I told you he was slipping yesterday.
Right.
And then, you know, but the Eagles end up with another potential great player. But there's no pressure.
No, because work your way in.
They're so good, right. They can take a chance on him like that. Either way, Malachi Starks also gets drafted by the Ravens. Great stuff. They always seem to get their guy. But, man, we are super excited, and we want to know what you guys think. B-Mac is going to join us coming up in less than 5 minutes from now, and then we're going to open up the phones and take your phone calls. I just want to know your level of excitement. There are so many days we talk to each other, and it is completely negative.
Yes.
It is completely opposite of what you should be feeling today, because this is what the draft is about. The draft is about giving us a reason to hope that our team is taking the next step towards what we really want, and that's a Super Bowl. I'm not telling you we're going to do that next year,
right.
But, man, I feel good about, hey, you know what? We've addressed needs, and more importantly, you've got some guys. Mike, you know my phrase. Can he play? Both of these guys can play, and they can affect the game, man. I love these picks.
I was telling Carl last night, I was talking to Bucky. He's a guy I was trying to get on the phone earlier in the week. He was a walk-on at Tennessee back in the day, played for Philip Fulmer, and I said, what do you know about James Pierce Jr.? First of all, he goes, I'm sorry, Mark, I didn't have your number. That 404, I thought somebody was a salesman. But thanks, Bucky. I really need some intel. He said the stuff about Pierce is nonsense. Said that there was some high school teammate who had an axe to grind, talked about him being like crazy, and some idiot ran with it, and that was part of the character thing. He's an intense guy, and you and I joked around all the time. Remember, we had this conversation last year. If you had a scouting report on me, anger issues, multiple arrests.
Yes.
Tremendous upside, yes. High risk, high reward. That would be Mike Bell's scouting report. So, I mean, look, I'm never going to get too one-sided on this, but as you said, there's something. He had an expired tag on a car. I mean, everybody, Andy just talked about that on the show. He had that just happen to him. So, man, I'm excited, and I don't care. And now that I've had Carl a full, you know, night to sleep on it and a day to think about it, I'm loving where we are. I'm with you.
Yeah, and look. Whatever issues any of these guys have, once they get to their prospective teams, it's those teams' jobs. It's the Falcons' job. It's Ra's job. His coaching staff's job to make sure that he's moved on from whatever issues they've had. What an exciting day, ATL. It's Dukes and Bell live at Flowery Branch. Abe's hanging out with us, by the way. He's up here helping us out today. We are going to get both of our first-round draft picks as the Falcons move back into the first round to get James Pierce at 26, Jalen Walker, 15th overall. They're both going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. Let's talk to our man B-Mac right now, Bryant McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion here with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, B-Mac, how surprised were you with what the Falcons did? And did you feel like we won the draft last night, at least in day one?
I wasn't surprised, man. We talked about this consistently leading up to the draft, the need to improve the defense, the need to improve the element of pass rushing. So attacking the defensive side, getting guys who can put pressure on opposing quarterbacks was a major necessity for the Falcons, and I applaud their efforts in doing so. Now, I was a bit surprised to see what they gave up to get back into the first round to go get James Pierce. But clearly the folks in the building felt like James Pierce was the number one edge rushing option available, and they wanted to do everything in their power to go get him. So it is what it is. But outside of that, man, you know, we talked about this, can't put any pressure on quarterbacks. And I did some research, guys. The last time, and you guys probably know this as well, the last time the Falcons had a double-digit sack guy was 2016, right. Vic Beasley.
Right.
Like, the number one song on the Billboard charts was Justin Bieber, Love Yourself. That's how long it's been since they had a guy that can get double-digit sacks. And then most recently, the last time they had an individual with at least 7 sacks was 2019. So that has been an issue for the team for quite some time, so I applaud them in trying to improve that area.
Yeah, I know that we all had, as Carl and I were just having this conversation off the air, you get locked into some of these valuations and what the so-called air quotes experts are saying, BMAC. I had Mike Green higher than Pierce, but then when you look at it, Pierce is basically a bigger, twitchier version, you could argue, of Mike Green. We are kind of all, we're all kind of familiar with Jalen Walker. I mean, we'll talk about where he's going to play in a second. But what do you think of Pierce? Does it mean just little things, just getting coached up, technique, maturity, that'll all come?
You know what, Mike? I'm right there with you. In terms of Mike Green and James Pierce, I had Mike Green higher on my board. I felt like he was a better pass rusher, and I just love his physical mentality. You know what I mean? I think that's something that's needed when you're battling in the trenches, but clearly the folks inside the building there, Flowery Branch, felt otherwise. But the thing about James Pierce that really jumps off when you watch him is his burst and his athleticism. You know what I mean? Clearly running that good 40 time in Indy really confirmed everything that you saw from him throughout his time there with Tennessee. And I think that was the say-all, be-all, the athleticism, the burst. And he kind of fits what they already have in place. You look at Leonard Floyd, you look at his length, you look at the athleticism. James Pierce is probably like a younger version of a Leonard Floyd, but I would say he's faster.
Did we give up too much? Or do you think – okay. Why? Why?
All right. So if you're the Rams, number one, the Rams were not taking an edge rusher, in my opinion. If you look at their front, all of those guys are still in rookie contracts and they're playing fairly well. So if you're the Rams, you are okay moving. But for the Falcons to give up their second-round pick and a first-rounder in 2026, along with a seventh-rounder this year, those – clearly the first two picks are value picks. The second rounder in next year's 2020, next year's first, wherever that might be, I felt like the Falcons could have waited a little bit because, to your point, Mike Carl, I felt like James Pierce and Mike Green, they're kind of living in the same neighborhood, right? So let's wait a little bit because I can tell you two teams are definitely willing to make something happen in terms of a move, Kansas City and Philadelphia. They've shown the ability to move out of the first round in years past. So I think I would have stayed put, just stay a little patient. Stay a little patient, and if Pierce is off the board, you still can trade up and maybe not give up as much as you gave up to get Pierce and still go get a high, prolific pass rusher and a guy like Mike Green.
It is Brian McFadden, guys, two-time Super Bowl winner, our weekly visit, talking about the draft. We'll talk about corners because that's something on the board for us, along with maybe DT coming up in a second. But let's talk about Jalen Walker. I mean, leadership, championship, I mean, everything. Coach's son, that phrase came up a lot last night, too. I mean, you got everything you're looking for. And again, a steal, Brian, the fact that he fell to us at 15. I guess the only thing was they were maybe looking to still trade down because they obviously like Pierce. How does he play? How do they use him off the jump? Because it's 6'1". Can he handle off the tackles? How do you use him to get after the quarterback in the NFL?
That's the thing. I think he would be more of like a joker type of player for their defense. He's an off-ball linebacker, very, very instinctive, but yet and still he can rush the passer as an edge rusher. So now you have to get creative. I look at how Dallas utilizes Michael Parsons from time to time. You know, sometimes he's an off-ball linebacker. Sometimes he's an edge rusher. Sometimes he lines up the three technique in situational packages, and you run stunts with him. Jalen has that ability, and he's very, very strong at the point of attack. Yes, he's not 6'5 or 6'4 or 6'3, but he's still strong at the point of attack, and he plays with good leverage, and he's a three-down player. You know what I mean? So the versatility that he has is something that can really benefit and help the entire defense out because he can play multiple positions, and he's not a liability in doing so.
Yeah, it's interesting. B, let's talk about your guys. And I think everybody was surprised as Pittsburgh. Now, I think they did the right thing. This is the brilliance, I believe, of the front office in never trying to say, you know, they're going to do what we think or go and reach out of pocket and say, oh, we needed that, and so we're going to go get it. They desperately need to get younger on that defensive line, and they got a good guy in Derek Harmon. But you had to be surprised that Shador is sitting there and 21 pops up and the Steelers don't do it.
Yes, I was surprised because that's a need for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I, for one, felt like Shador Sanders' tape was good enough to be selected there. Now, what we're hearing coming from this entire process, listeners, is that And I can't confirm or deny that these allegations or these speculations are true, but we're hearing the interview process wasn't as appealing for a guy like Shedeur Sanders. We're hearing that, you know, when you go into an interview process, and all of us that's on this call right now, we've had to be involved in an interview. And for our listeners, our adult listeners, the same could be said for you as well. Hear me out with this situation. When you go into an interview process, it's your job to sell yourself to whoever it is that's interviewing you. So you, sometimes you got to change up things, your mindset, how you handle yourself, because you want to make them feel like we need him to be a part of what we're doing. And from what I'm hearing, and like I said, these are just things that I'm hearing. I was not involved in the interview process. I'm hearing that was not the case. I'm hearing it was a sense of, I don't want to say being overly confident, but it's like, if you don't draft me, oh, well, you're going to pay. Like, these are things these organizations don't take well to. And I know firsthand because I once was a drafted player and I once was involved in these interview process. And when I walked into the interview room, I'm the type of person, I'm a yes or no sir type of guy anyway, because that just shows respect. But also, too, I will exercise humility in terms of the dialogue that I'm having with organizations, because I want them to see I'm a humble individual and I love working and I want to do everything I need to do to be able to be an asset to your team. I think that's the issue. All I'm saying is these are things that I've heard. So you got to look at it like this, guys. Mike Carr, if you're thinking about bringing a guy into your organization to play a prominent position, and he kind of shows off to be more brashful than anything, not forthcoming, are you more inclined to draft him, or would you be more inclined to draft another player that exercises humility from start to finish, and he seems to be a team player? Not saying Shedeur isn't, but these are the things that you like. I think you got to decide with the latter.
Well, being here, listen, I hear what you're saying. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we talk with Brian McFadden here about the draft last night, this is one of the big storylines that'll head into tonight's draft in round two. B, we know there have been guys in the past, quarterbacks, that have not interviewed well, yet they've still been drafted. And you're telling me that's what held Shedeur out of the first round? That is weak sauce. It is all about these bits and pieces, right? Combine's a bit and piece. Tape, bit and piece. Talking to their coaches, a bit and piece. Interview process, bit and piece. Medical. And you're telling me that he's the guy because he interviewed, apparently, again, you weren't there, I wasn't there. But if that's what kept him out of the first round, we know for a fact there have been other quarterbacks in the past in the National Football League that have done worse, that have had less personality, that couldn't draw plays on a board and still got drafted. So I have a hard time buying that. I don't know what it is, but I'm with you, and I felt the same way. But either way, do you think he's going to get picked tonight?
I hope so. I hope so. And listeners, I'm just telling you what I heard. I don't feel that way. I'm basing my assumption off what I saw on Saturdays. And I will also add to this, Mike Carr, I've heard that a lot of NFL teams were not high on his tape. They were not high on his tape. A lot of people were. We were high on his tape from the outside looking in, but a lot of individuals who really dissect the tape were not high on the tape. So now if you're not high on his tape and you just didn't love the interview process, he came off as a bit bashful, making demands, saying this, saying that, of course you're probably going to turn to the other option. I'm just telling you, I wanted Pittsburgh to draft him. Me personally, you don't understand how I felt when I did not see his name called. I took a knee like I was in church saying a prayer. I broke down. Right. But now as I do my due diligence and I kind of put my ear to the streets, I'm hearing a lot of the same things from different people from within different organizations. You can't walk into an interview and make demands like you're the best thing since sliced bread. Now, see, you got to understand, his old man had that type of bravado because he was one of one. Right. Most people felt like Shedeur Sanders' tape wasn't like that. So if they feel like your tape is not like that, you got to win them over in other areas.
I'm with you. And again, I still think, to Carl's point, he's paying for the sins of his father. It's our man, Brian McFadden. Before we cut you loose, he played corner. It was really good. Will Johnson, people scared by his medical. He's still out there. Trey Amos from Ole Miss. Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame. Just off the top of my head, if we do move again, which who knows, man, Riverboat Terry. But maybe we go get a corner. Who of those guys do you like the best? Because we need to get another corner. Help the nickel.
I love Trey Amos. I love his length. He reminds me a little bit of Rasul Douglas with his length and how disruptive he is at the line of scrimmage. I love Suvon Revel from East Carolina coming off an ACL, but it sounds like he should be ready to go at some point in time during the start of the season. Right. And you talked about Will Johnson. I think he's the most glorified. I know. He has been the most glorified collegiate corner over the last 3 years, but he's still available. But it's all about the injuries. And the thing that really hurt Will Johnson is because he finished the season injured, and when he did his personal workout, he didn't do anything to showcase the speed is back where it needs to be. You know what I mean? And I think that really hampered his potential of being drafted clearly by now, because he went through the drills, but you didn't run. You know what I mean? And speed is a necessity when you're playing the cornerback position. So there's a lot of corners that's available. Now, the one caveat is Atlanta doesn't have a second-round pick, right? So how can you finesse trying to go get one of these type guys that could be a second-rounder when you don't? You know, do you want to continue to be what you call them, Riverboat Terry, and try to find a way to get back into the second round and go get a difference maker? But at some point in time, guys, you're going to run out of resources.
Hey, just because we're on the subject, the other thing that came up the last couple of days, we're not being played because Raheem Morris's relationship with Jalen Ramsey. He's gotten worse everywhere he's gone. You still think Jalen Ramsey's good enough to be worth the money?
$24 million is high-level pay for a corner, and I don't think he's that high-level player like he once was, but I still think he could really be a difference maker. It's up to Atlanta, because if you bring him in and he's receiving $24 million, he's playing corner. That's for sure. Yeah. Like, he's not playing nickel, he's not playing safety, he's playing a corner. And will the organization, do they feel like he still has what it takes to be able to receive that compensation and also to deliver on the goods? I think you got to try to take a chance on him, because for Miami, I don't know if there's a team that would be willing to trade for Jalen Ramsey, eating his entire salary for this year. So if you're the Dolphins, you're probably going to be in a tough situation where you might have to eat some of the money that he's supposed to see this season to make it easier for him to be moved. And if that's the case, if you're Atlanta, you're all in anyway. It seems like they're rolling the dice. Riverboat Terry is making aggressive moves. If they're willing to eat some of that salary, bring Jalen Ramsey to town and let's make everything happen.
It does feel that way after we, again, move back into the first round. B is right. We have a third-round pick. Rams got our second, seventh this year, and then they get our first next year. B-Mac, always a pleasure, man. We'll talk to you next week about the totality of the draft. Brian McFadden, have a great weekend. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, when we come back, we're going to let you hear the moment in which these names were called. How did you feel? And we want to hear from you at 404-726-0929. Mike, how often do we talk to our audience? And it's, you guys! Today, it is all love.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy.
We should be all feeling great about the direction of our football team. And if you're not, I don't know what to tell you. Mm. By the way, Jalen Walker, James Pierce are going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. We're coming back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live at Flowery Branch. It is Dukes and Bell. We're talking about our excitement and enthusiasm for the Falcons picks last night. Abe's up here with us. Turtle's back at the studio. He is helping us out today, running our board. And it's funny because I asked Abe off the air. I said, hey, how you feeling about this, by the way? Because Mike and I have been, you know, texting all day, all night.
Right.
And Abe's like, I couldn't sleep. I'll be honest, Falcon fans, a lot of people didn't sleep last night. Or at least you went to bed way later than you did because you felt exactly what we're feeling today, which is, did they just do this, Mike? Did they just do what we thought?
When we moved back up, my first initial thought was it was going to be Malachi Starks. Mm. That's what I thought initially when we moved in to the 26th pick. But then, you know, and I thought, okay, then it's Mike Green. And it was Pierce. Like I said, I told Carl to start the show. It just took me a while. BMAC has still not gotten there 100%. Because, you know, Pierce is coming with, you know, some things you're going to coach up, but he's got the raw size and the speed. You can't coach that speed, man. I mean, this guy's just unbelievable. Yes, a bunch of guys hit us up. So imagine if Chuck Smith was coaching. Yeah, I imagine. Imagine if Coach Smith was coaching our defensive players for like a decade. But he'll get the coaching with Ulbrich. So I'm excited. But I'm with you. I was just so over the moon that Jalen Walker was there. It just blew my mind.
Yeah. It's a great pick, guys. There's not anybody in their right football mind is saying that is a bad pick.
Nope.
No one.
And a lot of guys, like I said, now, there's some folks like B that were, they thought maybe we, a little too much value, we gave up. But, hey, man, there's other guys who say we won draft night.
Yeah.
When's the last time you can say the Falcons won anything when it came to the draft?
No doubt, man. And it's not just hype. It is you fit need. And we'll let you hear a little bit later on. Gerald McCoy was on NFL Network last night. First thing he said. Like, they go to the guys at the desk, and he's sitting there like, you know, he played for Tampa, so he didn't like to say it, but he's like, I hate to say it. Falcons won this thing tonight, man. And it's just funny because the reality is exactly that. Now, how does it translate? Guys, I don't know, but this offseason is going to be fun. Camp, all of a sudden, Mike, is going to be even more exciting to see these young guys going at it.
Right.
There's just a lot to get up for now, and we're not even talking about the offense. We're solely focused on the defense right now,
Well, again, the offense, I mean, you know, just like I said, if you could just unlock the frigging mystery that is Kyle Pitts, then all of a sudden you're like, wow, there's not a lot of weaknesses. Now, 2016, I don't think we knew how good Devondre Campbell was in the fourth round. Certainly we had talked about Debo. We were expecting Debo, you know, in the first round, and he came in the second. Keanu Neal, of course, was – those guys were so good, as I said to Carl the other day. They burned bright, but it didn't last very long. But those guys had an impact. Can these guys have the impact? Because right now, let's just take it incrementally. We got to beat the Bucs. We got to get the Bucs out of the way to win this division. Get us another home game. And from there, then the sky's the limit. You know, we're going to see what the schedule looks like. But, I mean, we know who we got to play. I'm excited. I mean, said to Carl, I wasn't going to be all hypey. I wasn't going to be all giddy. But now I know when we're doing the show at Hooters in a couple of months to start camp, I'm going to be like, woohoo! Because these two, we got two all-SEC studs. I mean, which you're going to be fighting and probably winning the starting job. And can't wait to see him in the rotation.
404-726-0929. Want to take a few of your phone calls. Want to know what's your excitement level. Is it 10? Is it 9? Is it 8? If it's anywhere below 5, don't call. Because I don't understand what you watched.
I don't want to hear it.
Or what you're saying.
I don't want to hear about it.
I mean, seriously, if it's under 5, like if you were to call today and be like, yeah, it's a 5. A 5?
Yeah. You know what?
Nobody expected us to do what we did last night.
And it's funny. I told Carl earlier today, before he went in with Andy Randy, I was talking with Terry Fontenot, our general manager. I said, hey, man, I know I've been killing you the last few years. I said, I'm really excited. Great job. I mean, it's a ballsy move, man. And can't wait to see these guys in action. And then Terry knows. He knows the criticism that comes with that kind of position. And,
Hey, Terry.
But, I mean, that's aggressiveness. And, again, we now give us some credit because we did say, you know, if there's a chance to do some stuff or you're using equity from next year, go for it. Because you might not have a job if you don't get in the playoffs.
But I don't care about next year. I mean, I hate to be that guy, but, like, that's how I live. I'm sorry. I mean, most of you, I mean, if you were to tell me, hey, we're going to have 3 first-round picks in 2029, I don't care. All I care about is next year, and that is why I want us to put the best football team on the field come September when I'm at Mercedes-Benz, and it's time to introduce your Atlanta. Let's go. That's all I care about.
And here's the thing. Right now, there's guys like, man, okay, let me go to NFL.com. Walker jersey, so we find out, you know, what digits he's going to be rocking and all that. Because this is and again, we said this for years. It's not to draft a dog for drafting dog's sake. No, it's the perfect fit. And this was a guy that, as we said, can't wait to see how we're going to use him. That was the only question was, is he like the Swiss Army knife? How do you get the most out of him? Hey, that's a good problem to have.
All right, want to jump on the phones. I want to take Allison here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Going to let you hear the moment last night and also that precious phone call that the Falcons had to deliver to both of these guys. I think it's priceless. But Allison, thank you for listening. As always, you're on Dukes and Bell. Talk to us.
My excitement level last night and right now, it's at infinity, or it's at least at 50,000, okay? I'm at least at 50,000. Because, first of all, we drafted somebody from Athens, and mind you, I'm a Georgia Tech girl, so, you know, I know good when I see it, and Jalen Walker, not only is he good, he's great, okay?
Yeah.
Speed, you know, the dude just gets after it. James Pierce Jr., I didn't see him play a lot, but he's tall, he's big, you know, like you said, add, you know, get brother down there, the busy bee, fill him up on some fried chicken, and let's get, you know, put some weight on him. But right now, I'm very excited. We got two great defenders, the Boo who are in potential, plus Braylon Trice is coming back from an injury. Hopefully, Zach Harrison gets used in the rotation. We got Rook. I mean, just having guys on the Kentavious Street, just having rotational guys on that defensive line is going to be awesome. It's going to be phenomenal. I'm looking forward to it. So I'm hyped about it, okay? You know, I got into the first game until they let me down. But until then, I'm hyped.
Yeah, and you know what, Allison? Here's the thing. I mean, for the first time in a long time, it's third. third down.
And we might actually get somebody off the field.
This place will be electric because right. that is going to be Jalen Walker time. It's right. going to be James Pierce Jr. time. All of a sudden, it's going to be Leonard Floyd time. Like that. Now we got to – let's get off the field, man. Allison, I don't know about letting us down. I'm hoping that's not the case. Thank you so much for the phone call. It's Dukes and Bell. Brian, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, how are you feeling? What's your enthusiasm level?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I'm at about a 10. I'm ecstatic about this. One way I like to look at it for all the naysayers who said we gave up too much, last year Terry was well known. He was trying to trade back up to get Latu in the first round, which would have cost us our first this year plus more.
Right.
Which would you rather have, Fenix and Latu, or Fenix, James Pierce Jr., and Jalen Walker?
This combo.
Right.
This combo.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, I totally agree, Brian. Look, and there's always a price when you make a move. Again, we make the trade. We get picks 26, or should I say last night, and we get a third-rounder this year. We gave up, obviously, our first to the Rams, and then they get a second, a seventh. I mean, look, this is the price of doing business.
Right, right.
But if you believe, like, hey, this is our dude, we're going to go get him and he's going to help us, it should not matter. Like, the cost of doing business, when you go into a store and you pay for merchandise, you don't think about it. You want it, you need it, you right. get it. That's how you have to look at this, Mike. I know we're talking about commodities, but these are people.
Hey.
But the fact is, it's the same thing, man. And it's exchange. I want that. Give it to me.
When I bought the car after Christmas, I didn't need it. I just did it. But in this case, we needed it, and we did it. And we've got a guy, as we said, once you get your head around what this guy is going to be, and again, the immaturity thing. I mean, I think of like Leonard Floyd as like a mentor type for this guy. You know, there's a guy that's been in the wars. He's a consummate professional.
Hope so.
He's won a Super Bowl. You know, you got Ra. And that's another thing, man. I know we've talked about it. When things aren't going well and we're getting a lot of coach speak from Ra, sometimes you roll your eyes. Players love this guy. He is well-respected around the league. And I think Coach Ra will have a tremendous impact on the development of James Pierce.
Let's hope so. I mean, I agree with you. I think going to the right place. This is why we always talk about going to the right place.
Right.
You can go to a team, and if that coach doesn't get you, or the staff doesn't get you, sometimes it doesn't work out regardless of your talent. Randy, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, what's your enthusiasm level, Randy?
I'm at a 10.
I say that again.
Got out of caring, man. You know,
say that again. Hold on. What's your enthusiasm level? Hold on. What's the enthusiasm level?
I'm at a 10, man. I'm at 10.
Oh, good, right, good. Right, okay, right. Man. All right.
Go yeah, for it, brother.
All right, baby. Go for it.
Hey, scrap those picks here. And what's up with D-Lance and we gave up 2 months and we should have got Mike Gray.
Yeah, listen, this is the thing, man. Everybody, I shouldn't say everybody. There are a lot of people, Mike, who feel like this character thing that we've been talking about
right.
applied in some instances in the past, didn't apply here. You're overlooking certain things. Look, I don't think that we gave up too much. I understand the premise, but at the end of the day, I'm saying it again. I think if you have the conviction to say, this is my guy, like last year, Michael Penix, I don't give a damn what anybody thinks, we're going to go get him. That's how they felt about Pierce, Mike. What can you say?
They look.